Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
Good morning. I'd like to call to order Senate Appropriations. Want to welcome our internet listeners this morning. Want to remind anyone that has a cell phone, please turn it off, because if it goes off, then you will donate to the charity of choice of the chairman. And with that, I would have the secretary call the roll.
Bartling.
Here.
Hunstead.
Here.
Ollers.
Here.
Nordstrup.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Haverly.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Here. There is a quorum present. We have a page. I'd ask the page to come up. Please identify yourself, where you're from, and what your future plans are after high school.
My name is Mitchell Allman. I'm from Aberdeen, South Dakota, and I plan to be a commercial pilot.
Very good. Thank you. Senator Nordstrup.
Aberdeen Day.
Oh, all right. I see you're the red. I wasn't quite sure. With that, we'll move to our bills. I am going to defer House Bill 1069. I'm also going to defer House Bill 1081. We will now move to House Bill 1238, which is to make an appropriation from the Water and Environment Fund, the Water Pollution Control Revolving Subfund, and Drinking Water Revolving Subfund for various water and environmental purposes, and to declare an emergency. Good morning, Mr. Perner.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. We are here today to present to you House Bill 1238. This bill comes to you each year. It's known as the annual Governor Omnibus Water Funding Bill. This process was started in about 1993. It used to be that all these water projects came before you separately and asked for special appropriations. In 1993, there was a process established whereby we call it the state water planning process. It's conducted by the Board of Water and Natural Resources and made available to them to help establish the water planning process was dedicated water funding. We have a handout that helps to both explain and present the bill to you. This is a handout we use each year. The first handout is what we call our water funding flowchart. This shows the sources of revenue to the Water and the Environment Fund, which is the dedicated water funding that I spoke about earlier. You'll see on that chart the largest source of revenue to the Water and the Environment Fund is the Capital Construction Fund. Other sources of revenue are the contractor's excise tax on large water projects, loan repayment and interest, our solid waste fees, which include the solid waste tipping fee. And I might mention that revenue estimate is a little high. Our fee bill, House Bill 1048, which you have not yet heard, there was an adjustment made to that tipping fee. We're not proposing any changes in 1238. It's about $137,000 because this is just a revenue estimate and is expenditure authority only. The other solid waste fee is the tire fee, which is 25 cents per tire, not to exceed a dollar per registered vehicle. At the bottom of that flowchart, you see these different categories of environmental projects that are funded from the Water and the Environment Fund in House Bill 1238. If you go to the second page of the handout, we've basically presented House Bill 1238 in a table form for you. You see the sections of the bill number off to the left. And Madam Chair, I think we'll just run down through this list so the committee knows which projects are being funded from the bill. The first four sections contain what we call our state water resources management system projects. These are the large water projects that have been previously authorized by the legislature. The legislature has established cost share commitments to each of these projects. The first project in the State Water Resources Management System that would receive funding under the bill is the Lewis and Clark Rural or Regional Water System. This is the large water system that's being proposed to serve the southeast corner of the state. It'll draw water from wells along the Missouri River near Vermilion. And in Section 1 of the bill, it appropriates $6.3 million from the Water and the Environment Fund to that project. Just to give you a little background on that particular number, if you remember, or if you were here 2 years ago, you remember that Lewis and Clark Rural Water System came to both the governor and the Board of Water and Natural Resources and asked, made a proposal to prepay the entire state cost share commitment. At that time, the cost share commitment, it's indexed for inflation, so it totaled about $19 million. The system made the argument that it made sense for the state to do that because it saves money to the state in inflationary costs. It allows construction to move ahead faster, and it allows the system to go to Washington, D.C. to make a better case for higher federal funding. So their proposal was agreed to by the board and the governor. That $19 million was split up among 3 years. Last year there was a appropriation of $6.4 million to Lewis and Clark. $5.4 million of that was from the Water and the Environment Fund. $1 million last year came from the General Fund. To make the second installment of that prepayment this year, that $6.3 million, it became clear very early on that there were simply going to be no general funds for water development this year. Consequently, the entire $6.3 million is dedicated water funding from the Water and the Environment Fund. There are no general funds in House Bill 1238. The second large system that's in the State Water Resources Management System is in Section 2, the Southern Black Hills Water System. They would receive in the bill an appropriation of $350,000. They're trying to develop a rural or regional water system in Custer and portions of Fall River and Pennington counties. It's a badly needed system because there simply are not locally available water supplies in that area of the state. The third, Section 3, would appropriate $65,000 to the Black Hills Hydrology and Water Management Study. They want to use some of that money to try to find innovative ways to better quantify the amount of water in bedrock aquifers. I should note that this $65,000 payment will complete the state's cost share commitment to this particular project. Consequently, we'll probably be coming to you in a year or two and ask you to remove that particular project from the State Water Resources Management System list. And the fourth and final large project that's in Section 4 is Lake Andes Wagner Marty II Research Demonstration Project for $35,000. This is a federally authorized irrigation project down in that area. However, the federal money simply has not been forthcoming. Therefore, the local project sponsors want to use this $35,000, which would be given to them as a loan, to try to find other sources of funding for that project. That completes the large water systems that are in the bill. Section 5 of the bill appropriates $2 million to what's called the Consolidated Program. This is, again, a program that's established by the legislature. The Board of Water and Natural Resources uses money in the Consolidated Program to help provide funding for the smaller water and wastewater projects across the state. Section 6 and 7 appropriate the solid waste fees. $1.25 million for the Solid Waste Management Program. Again, the Board of Water and Natural Resources uses that to provide financial assistance to both solid waste and recycling projects. And Section 7 appropriates $1.3625, you see the number there, to regional landfill assistance. Our regional landfills are continually expanding. This money is given to them is in the form of grants and loans for those expansions and to close old cells that are full. That concludes the projects that come from the Water and Environment Fund in the bill. The bill does appropriate some fees and federal funds. Those are in Sections 8 through 11 of the bill. For example, in Section 8, would appropriate $1,575,000 for water quality grants from the EPA Clean Water State Revolving Fund administrative surcharge fees. We anticipate using that money to help supplement both the consolidated program and to help local project sponsors do these total maximum daily loads that are water quality improvement projects that are required under the Federal Clean Water Act. Sections 9 and 10 appropriate $150,000 from each of the state revolving funds. One is basically wastewater, that's the clean water one, and the drinking water one assistance in making the application for the loans and the administration of those state revolving loans. And finally, Section 11 appropriates $160,000 from the EPA Drinking Water SRF program for small system technical assistance. Now, there are three additional sections in the bill that don't show up on the chart, and I want to review those quickly to make sure the committee is aware of those. Section 12 of the bill would increase our pass-through grant authority for water quality grants, mostly from EPA, to $6 million. We've simply run short of authority of the last couple of years and haven't been able to get that money to those local water quality improvement projects. Consequently, we need an increase in our federal pass-through authority. That is simply federal expenditure authority for pass-through grants. Section 13 of the bill appropriates up to allows the Board of Water and Natural Resources to appropriate or to grant up to $2 million to the Mid-Dakota Rural Water System from the Consolidated Program. Mid-Dakota is the large rural water system that takes water from the Missouri River just above the dam here at Pier, goes east all the way to Huron. It's been a very successful system. Shortly after completion, they essentially reached the capacity of their water treatment plant and had to put on a moratorium for new hookups. Governor Rounds met with the Secretary of the Department of Interior and arranged basically for Mid-Dakota to redo their federal financing, which will allow them to finance an expansion of the water treatment plant. Part of that agreement was the state would give them, provide up to $2 million grant assistance. On the consolidated program, there's a cap of $1 million to any one project. Consequently, Section 13 would allow the board to go above that cap and provide up to $2 million. $1 million has already been made available to Mid-Dakota. If this is passed, the board will probably make the other additional $1 million grant over the next year or two. And then finally, Section 14 of the bill provides that the bill is an emergency. That's in there because that way, if the legislature passes the bill and the governor signs it, the money is made available immediately, and we can put some of this money to work during the upcoming construction season. Madam Chair, that would conclude my remarks, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Perner. Are there any questions? Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As we, and I probably learned some of these things before, but I've kind of forgotten, the contractor's excise tax flows in there of $700,000. This obviously isn't all of contractor's excise tax, so what part of, how to determine what part of that goes in there?
Madam Chair, this contractor's excise tax is only on large water projects that are over $20 million. I think is the right number. $20
million?
$20 million and on this one. Yeah, $20 million and on the State Water Resources Management System list. So it's only that contractor's excise tax.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Committee. I'm John Beard, Vice Chair of Southern Black Hills Water, and of course we're here in full support of the Governor's Omnibus Bill, seeing how we have money in it. Small part of our project, I'll start off, our project basically goes from the Nebraska line to about 5 miles south of Rapid City from the Wyoming line to Shannon County line, minus the southeast corner of Fall River County. Right now, we have funding in place with rural development for a project. We had to phase it due to the cost, but phase one and two, and that lies right north of Hot Springs and goes basically over to Argyle Road, and then phase three, four, five, we work our way to Custer, Hill City, and then we also, in our project, we have Keystone, Hermosa, Fairburn, several small towns. That's why we call it a regional water system. And basically, Keystone, you might say, is out of water. 2 years ago, the 4th of July, they was 2 hours from being complete out of water. And then after the fire south of Hot Springs, I mean, this project is a badly needed project out there. I've lived there 30 years as a rancher, hauled water for 30 years. If I had to do it over, the first thing I'd look for when I bought a ranch was water. So I guess with that, Madam Chair, any questions?
I have one question. So this is the Southern Hills Black Water System. How long are you on the plan? Now this year there's 350, so what's the plan for how long you're going to stay on this?
I guess basically that depends on these people back here and how fast and how much money, I mean, and what our new president does for us. But I'm guessing it's going to be at least a 20-year project.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other proponents? I'll warn you, you have to move quick in this committee because I just roll right through.
I'll try to be brief. My name is Kurt Feifley. I'm the general manager for Mid-Dakota Rural Water, and I won't add a lot to what Secretary Perner had stated with Mid-Dakota in Section 13. We are in support of 1238 and specifically Section 13, but I would only add that Mid-Dakota is progressing with our expansion of our project. We have advertised for procurement of our filtration system in the water treatment plant, and construction should follow soon after that. We'll be increasing our water treatment capacity. We'll be adding some storage to our system as well as some additional pumping. With that, I would answer any questions.
I just have a question. For your consumers, what's been the fee increases or the rate increases that you've had to look at for them as you're engaging in this project?
Sure. We've had rate increases for probably the last 3 years of anywhere from 5 to upwards to 8% for each year. And we took another rate increase this last year. Our typical rural household that uses 7,000 gallons of water a month probably pays about $60 a month in a water bill. We probably rank among the top 80% for more expensive water.
Thank you. I compare that to what I pay for my rural water, and you are higher, so thank you.
Thank you.
Other proponents. Good morning, Mr. Larson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Troy Larson. I'm the executive director of the Lewis and Clark Regional Water System, and with your permission, Madam Chair, I'd like to have a handout passed around here. And while that's coming around, I want to take the opportunity to thank the legislature, the governor, DENR, for their past support of the Lewis and Clark Regional Water System. Without the strong partnership from the state, we certainly would not be where we are today. So please hear how much we do appreciate the strong support. What I'd like to do is take an opportunity just to provide a brief update on the project for the committee. Now that they've been passed out, if you turn to the front page, I'm not going to spend much time on the pictures. They speak for themselves, just to give you an idea of some of the construction. The map that you see on the second page is the progress being made. Red areas show the 84 miles of mainly 54-inch pipeline that has been completed. The green area to the south is the 6 miles that is still under construction as we speak. You'll see there's two blue areas, one south of Sioux Falls and one in Iowa. Those are two emergency connections that are now operational. Those segments of pipeline were built out of order so that in the short term, using temporary water sources, we could buy water from In one example, it's from Sioux Falls, and the other, it's from Sioux Center, and then sell the water to other communities. In Iowa, we're reselling the water to Hull, and in South Dakota, reselling it to T in Harrisburg, and that was simply as a way to buy time for those communities that were facing critical water needs. Flipping ahead past some of the pictures, the picture of all the people standing there was the ceremony for the T in Harrisburg Emergency Connection when it became operational in September. The next picture is our primary well field south of Vermilion. That's the Vermilion-Newcastle Bridge. Our main well field is in that yellow oval area, and we recently completed 1 mile of bank stabilization to protect the wells from erosion. One of the misnomers of Lewis and Clark is that we have an intake into the river, and that's not correct. We have a series of wells that tap into an aquifer adjacent to the river, and so it was important that we stabilize the riverbank to protect the wells from erosion. Flipping ahead, the water treatment plant, you may recall that we tried to bid that out as one phase, and it came in way higher than engineers' estimates. That was in September of 2007. It's now divided into three phases. Phase one is currently under construction, and the phase one includes infrastructure that is separate from the main water treatment plant. Phase two will be bid in May of this year, and that includes the main treatment plant building. That's roughly a $100 million project. We expect to deliver treated water to Sioux Falls, Minnehaha Community Water Corp, Harrisburg T, and Lincoln County Rural Water by 2012, with more members subsequently connected. I may remind the committee we have 20 cities and rural water systems that are a part of Lewis and Clark. Phase three will expand the plant to its original 45 million gallons a day and will be bid at the end of the project once all 20 members are connected. The next slide is an aerial shot that shows some of the construction underway just north of Vermilion. The plant is right along Highway 19, which you see on the left part of your picture there, and it's the plant is 3 miles north of Vermilion along Highway 19. The next page, just a quick summary of the construction. Again, we have 84 miles in, another 6 miles under construction. The last 6 miles will be done by this fall, so then we'll have the entire pipeline between the Missouri River and Sioux Falls installed. We have two emergency connections that are operational. In addition to that 1 mile of bank stabilization, we have 7 wells that have been drilled, and we do expect to have our water treatment plant construction completed by mid-2012. In terms of funding, the first bullet point shows the funding increases we've seen in our federal funding. You may recall this is 80% federally funded, and it's all grant funds. It's 80% from the federal government, 10% from the three states, and 10% from the 20 members. You'll see on there we are still waiting for our 2009 budget number. We do not know that number. We're currently operating under a continuing resolution. Now that the stimulus package has been passed, we understand Congress will begin focusing on the 2009 budget. We are hopeful that Lewis and Clark will benefit from stimulus funding. It's all through the Bureau of Reclamation, so there were no earmarks, so we don't know if Lewis and Clark will specifically get any money, but we would certainly be shocked if we do not, because we believe we're a perfect fit for many, many reasons. I heard the quote this morning, and I think it's appropriate, we're beyond shovel ready. Our shovels are dirty, and so it's a very appropriate project to use stimulus funding on. We do hope to hear in the next 2-3 weeks whether we will benefit from that. In addition, work is underway on the 2010 budget in Washington, even though the 2009 budget isn't even done yet, and we will be traveling next week to Washington to lobby on behalf of the 2010 budget. You may recall last year, the 2009 budget, the administration proposed zero for Lewis and Clark, so we're certainly hoping to improve upon that number this year. In addition, I did mention the 20 members paid 10% of the project. 17 out of those 20 members have prepaid their share of the project, in some cases decades in advance before they will see any money. For example, Madison, South Dakota is one of the last members that will receive water, and they've prepaid at least a decade before they will see any water. The states of Iowa and Minnesota have also prepaid, and we are again requesting $6.3 million this year, which would be the second installment of this, of South Dakota's remaining share. And as Secretary Perner mentioned, this certainly does help us make our case for additional federal funding in Washington. I certainly don't mean to speak for the congressional delegation, but the feedback we have received is that when they have talked to their colleagues about the project and the need for increased funding, the fact that the members and the states have stepped up in such a dramatic way certainly has helped make the case in Washington. So want to again thank you for the support, and would direct your attention on the last page. Just shows you the percentage of the commitments by all the members. You've got the federal government, the three states, and the 20 members. So I will yield for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Are there questions? Thank you. It's a very good report. Appreciate that. Any other proponents? Senator.
Sir, could you?
Ms. Perner.
Thank you. I know I've seen you here every year for the last 4 years, at least on the House side. If I was to, you know, go somewhere and want to see a project that would amplify my understanding of it, where would it be on this? Where would it be on this project that would really give me a feel for House Bill 1238, the Omnibus Water Bill? Where would I go? If I was traveling across the state and you said, hey, I want you to see something, and you could take me anywhere you wanted to, what would be the best place?
Madam Chair.
Careful with that answer.
We have two systems that have received money through this process, where are large systems supplying clean, reliable, safe drinking water to both urban and rural residents. And one of them would be Mid-Dakota, which is just up above town, north of town, about, 6 miles, and supplies water all the way to Huron. We can go across the dam to the Minnewichoni project, the portion of that that we've provided funds to through the water bill would be the West River Lyman Jones portion of Minnewichoni, and that's supplying water west all the way to Wall and all those communities and rural residents along that way.
So even though that we're just in the local area, but anywhere in the state, those would still be a couple of the most highlighted projects.
Yeah, and those are the two really large systems that are right here. I mean, you can go to his water treatment plant, or you can go to the Minnewichoni water treatment plant just right below the dam. A lot of these systems are taking water from the Missouri River or the aquifers along the Missouri River. Lewis and Clark, as was mentioned, that's going to be their source of water. That's Mid-Dakota's, Minnewichoni's. So, what we're really doing is we're providing a clean, reliable, safe drinking water to places where there's local water supplies simply either aren't available, mm-hmm. or the water quality has been really, really poor. And this is, I think, made a dramatic improvement in the quality of life to these people that are hooked up to these systems. And it also provides a solid foundation for future economic growth. There's been ethanol plants, there's been livestock operations. Mm-hmm. A lot of this has come along with the availability of this water through these systems.
Thank you, sir. And Madam Chair, I might add, just for a recommendation, and I know we'll probably talk about this much later, but this would be something I'd like to be interested in when we have an interim appropriations committee, to keep us in touch with this, because we hear about this one time a year, and I think it's way too of an important program just to hear about, and maybe it'd help me understand some of the other projects that are affiliated with this, because I hear it every year, and I mean, it's such a good program that it's hard to get our hands around. Anyway, it's something for maybe our interim. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Bartling.
Thank you. Secretary Perner, in Section 6 and 7 of the bill, I don't think we've seen this before, and if we have, I apologize. In Section 6, it allows for $25,000 of the funds to contract for services in processing loans. An application. Then in Section 7, I think it's $50,000 for statewide contracting for statewide cleanup. Has that language been in this bill, in this omnibus bill before? I don't recall.
Madam Chair, okay. I know that Section 7 has been previously. 6-2?
They both have been. It's been several years.
So they've been in there for the last, like I say, 7's been in there for a long time, I know, and 6, they say, has been in there previously as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hunstad.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. A stimulus bill that I don't know anything about, and frankly, I suspect that most of us don't, but one of the big things is talks about infrastructure, and one of those was water projects. I would certainly hope, obviously, I think if this money comes in, that somehow you're going to be asking us for the ability to spend the money somewhere. So we need to be in this loop as close as we can. As you find out, as quick as you find out, keep us together so we know. I mean, it is possible that Unit 2 could get going faster. You say you're shovel ready. That's really exciting, and from what I've read, that's part of what they're looking for. They want money to be spent. They want things to be going on. So I suggest that this may be really a big deal for us. And I don't know how long we're going to be around. We know when session's supposed to end, but ultimately, I'm guessing we're going to have a special or something. So do keep us in the loop. That wasn't a question, but maybe you can help me with it anyway.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll just comment. The monies, as Mr. Larson talked about through the Bureau of Reclamation, is going to go directly to the projects. So that won't come through the state. The money that's in there for water and wastewater projects through EPA. They're proposing to use the existing state revolving loan funds as the mechanism to basically channel the money. So that's already established in statute, and basically those awards are made by the Board of Water and Natural Resources through the existing state revolving loan fund process. So I think, you know, that the way if that money comes through those programs, those are existing programs, and the board will simply handle those as part of the state water planning process. And I should mention, I failed to mention at the beginning of my remarks, this is the document that finishes up the state water planning process. The board held their public hearing to conclude this year's recommendation in November. This report then is made. This is where their recommendations are, and all the projects are listed in here and so on. This report is provided to the governor, and then each member of the legislature, you should have received this in your mailbox during the first week of session. So this is the document that basically the bill is built off of.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any other proponents? Proponents? Proponents. Are there opponents? Opponents? Opponents. Seeing none, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for action or discussion.
Chair.
Senator Haverly.
I move do pass House Bill 1238.
It's been moved by Senator Haverly, second by Senator Allers, do pass on House Bill 1238. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Haverly.
Well, I've already said pretty much what I thought I needed to say on previous comments, so I'll go ahead and say let's support this and great bill.
Thank you. All those in favor of the bill signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bartling.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Allers.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
7-0.
Motion carried 7-0. Let's see. Senator Brown, you want to carry this on the floor? Thank you. You can hand that out. Yes, that is an option. Okay, we have one other bill that we need to address, and yesterday there was a smokeout on Senate Bill 163, so we need to deliver that to the floor, so we need some action on that.
Madam Chair.
Senator Haverly.
I would make a motion to recommend do not pass.
Is there a second? Second. It's been moved and seconded for do not pass Senate Bill 163 to be delivered to the floor. Discussion on that motion. Substitute motion, Senator Hunstad?
Yes. The substitute motion would be to send it to the floor with no recommendation, and
is
I would like support on that.
Okay, there's a second. Okay, would you like to comment on that motion, Senator Hunstad?
I think we know.
Okay. Senator Haverly?
And I would ask you to resist the no recommendation motion. I believe strongly in the committee process, and I think this bill had a fair hearing, and that's the way we should leave. If we have to send it out, that's the way we should send it out. Thank you.
There is a substitute motion for sending out Senate Bill 163 with no recommendation. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bartling?
Aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Ollers?
Aye.
Northrup?
No.
Brown? Haverly?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Four.
Come on, guys.
The motion dies. We're back to the original motion. All those in favor of the original motion of do not pass, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bartling?
No.
Hunstad?
No.
Ollers?
No.
Northrup?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye. Motion carried. Bill has moved to the floor with a do not pass. I apologize. I had a bill and I didn't communicate to you. The Attorney General wants to speak to his bill and he's gone this week, so that was the reason. And then we still have some questions on the fee, so that's why those will be deferred. So we'll hear those next week. And again, my apologies. I was focusing on the bill. I needed to get up on the floor. All right. Thank you. Well, with that, is there anything else to come before this committee? Any minutes? Do I need to sign some out? Barb? Oh, you got to read them. Okay. All right. So, no, don't apologize. That's fine. Just trying to keep up. With that, it moved by Senator Brown, seconded by Senator Hunstad to adjourn. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you, and we're done. And you got a whole morning to yourselves.
No way.